It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer. I'm your host and owner of Cannabama, the CBD store, the first and largest CBD retailer in Alabama. We are the weirdos who brought you legal cannabis, and we are still loud and still proud. Thank you for being with us tonight. I know that you guys never know what to expect from us. We've been trying to stay with the theme of awareness of domestic violence this month, highlighting that issue with the city of Pritchard and with community action organizers Calla and Albert. They're here with us again tonight, and just a few minutes, we're going to talk to the director of Penelope House. That's a local organization here that helps women escape violent marriages and violent relationship situations with their children, and provide resources for them. First, I just want to say thank you to Calla and Albert for holding things down last week for me. I was out of town in Montgomery handling some things, and that came up and could not wait, so I appreciate that. It's very hard to do the show from on the road. I've tried it, and it sucks.
I tried to hold it down the best way I could.
You did a great job. I really, really appreciate it. I was in Montgomery till Thursday and very busy while I was doing that, so I really appreciate you guys standing in, and you did a great job, so thank you. A couple things. I got back, and we have been working on a new project. I've talked to several local rappers. You know, we are very involved with local music here, and we love to support musicians and different bands, and we've always been collaborating with them pretty much since the beginning of Cannabama. I think our first event was sponsoring the single release party on 420 for Red and the Revelers, which was always a good time to hear them. And we've done lots of things with different bands and different musicians, poets, comedians. We don't have concerts to get people to shop in our store, by the way, unlike a certain popular radio commercial of one of my lovely competitors. And we don't do this show to talk about how great we are either, just for the record. Anyway, I had to clear that up. So, you know, haters gonna hate and all. so much wasted advertising money. So anyway, but what we do that for is to provide a place for our customers to get together and smoke. That's all what they've asked for months and months, and to be able to do that with local musicians and support the artistic community here is why we did that. And I actually didn't make any money. It probably actually cost me money, especially when I got stupid and ordered everybody pizza a couple times. but we did have a good time. So anyway, we always want to be real involved with the community, and that's what we're doing. So we partner with one of the local rappers here. His name is Lil Hick. And he
Shout out to Lil Hick.
Yes. He's a good friend of our business, and he is very he's very good at helping promote the business. And he is a frequent flyer in our store.
Yes.
But
got a lot of ideas.
Yes. We've come up with some really good stuff. So I had the idea to do a blended pre-roll and rename it for him. And it's gone off really well. So we had an event. He had an event Friday night called Trapoween, which is a very creative name. Mm-hmm. And it was a multi-artist musical event in at the Hood Rat Skate Park. And I think that's in Foley, right?
Foley, yeah.
Yeah, so Calla and Nick, my trusty flower broker.
Shout out to Holy Hemp Botanicals.
Yes. They went out and set up a Cannabama table, and they sold the Lil Hick Haze pre-rolls and other products from Cannabama. And so the park has asked us to do some future events. So we're real excited to be doing some partnering with Hood Rat Skate Park over there. For future events.
It's a really cool venue. I think you guys should check it out. It's not what I totally like pulled up thinking, okay, Hood Rat Skate Park.
yeah.
But when I got there, I was like, oh, this is nice. It's really organized.
I can't wait to see it myself. But it went off without a hitch, and it sounds like it was a great deal. The owners have asked us to collaborate with them again, so we're excited to do that.
Yeah, we're already locked in for 420 of next year. So.
Yes, hey. Yes. Going to be some multiple events for that day.
Right.
We always like to celebrate.
All day long.
Oh, yeah.
All year
long.
All week long. All year long.
It's really a shame that 420, the entire month, which is, by the way, the month I turned 42, ironically, I couldn't even have a birthday party because of COVID. So we're going to make it up in 2021.
Yeah. It's going up in 2021.
We're
going
to celebrate 42, 43, 44. I'm getting old. Anyway, we got some events coming up. Friday, we'll be at the St. Mary Knights of Columbus Steve Thompson Memorial Golf Tournament. Say that three times fast. And the proceeds will go to St. Mary's Parish and School. It's sponsored by UJ Chevrolet, Canabama, Hargrove Engineering, and several other businesses. And that's this Friday, October 30th, at Spring Hill Golf Course. Mm-hmm. And I think last year they raised about $15,000 to go toward the parish and the school there for facilities. And it's a really good, worthy cause. And then later that day, because this weekend is my 6-year clean anniversary, most of you...
And she has an awesome assistant.
My assistant, Kala, who happens to be also... my practical co-host lately.
Kind of slid in
planning
that
planning some things, and I am not involved. But I do know that we are having Hallow Clean. It's just a party. We're going to have a party.
It's just a party.
At the downtown location at 558 St. Francis Street from 6 to 9 p.m. We're going to have some specials on flower and all of our clean products like bath bombs, soaps, bath salts, all of the bath and body products. We're going to have very, very, very good sale. I think we're going to do 60% off for 6-year anniversary.
Yeah.
So, and then some flower specials. Everybody loves flowers. So come and have a pre-roll with us, have a cupcake, whatever it is that they're going to have.
You don't know what's going on. So stop trying to act like she's trying to foreshadow what she wants to me. She's like, I want cupcakes. I want treats. I hear it.
Yeah, well.
Note it.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, all of my friends and family are invited, of course, and that includes my Canabama family. So moving right along, that'll be Friday night from 6 to 9 in the downtown store on St. Francis. I want to introduce real quick before we get done with the first segment. Our guest tonight is Tony Ann Torrance from Penelope House. Mm-hmm. Tony, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show, Tony.
Thank you.
I want to read a little bit about who you are. Tony served in the United States Peace Corps in Jamaica, where she helped set up a social work department at a hospital for children and is the only child-specific hospital in the Caribbean. And she worked as a medical social worker for nearly 15 years at Providence Hospital before coming to Penelope House in 2007. She received her master's in social work at the University of Southern Mississippi and her undergraduate degree in sociology with a social work emphasis at University of Southern Mississippi, where she played volleyball for 4 years and was a member of Delta 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 sorority. I was a Sigma Kappa.
She wants to throw that out there.
Shut up.
Noted.
Currently, she's the executive director of Penelope House, attends the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church, and is a member of the Junior League of Mobile, Daughters of Penelope, and the National Association of Social Workers. She's the proud mother of 2 sons, 17 and 14. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Thank you.
That's quite a life you've lived.
That's a very extensive bio.
It is, it is.
It's impressive.
All of it screams helping others, and that is something that we are very, very, very involved in ourselves. We hold that very high in esteem as far as character goes. So I applaud you for all the work that you've done pouring into other people. It is not for the faint of heart.
Well, I appreciate that, those kind words for sure. But, you know, my mom was a social worker, so when you grow up with a social worker, you kind of follow in those footsteps of things.
I can relate. My mom is a teacher, and she always wanted me to be a teacher, and I told her, no, I'll go to jail. These children are bad, but now I teach adults. I teach, and that's the foundation of my business. So I became a teacher after all, Mom. It's in our family. My aunt, my sister, my grandmother did some teaching on both sides. So it's kind of the thing we do in our family. I can relate. So, Tony, in just a minute, we're going to come back from a commercial break. But I want you to be able to tell us about what Penelope House does. Can you do that for me?
Yeah. You know, Penelope House was the first shelter for victims of domestic violence and their children in the state of Alabama. And we opened in March of 1979. So ever since then, the mission has been the same, and it's to provide that emergency shelter and many other services for victims of intimate partner violence and their children.
Okay, when we come back in just a minute, we want to delve into that some more, and I have some questions for you. In just a minute, we'll be back with Penelope House Executive Director Tony Ann.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host here at Sweet Home Canabama, and I am the owner of Canabama, the CBD store here in Mobile and Montgomery, and we have a store in Daphne, Alabama. Tonight we're talking to Tony Ann, who is the executive director for the Penelope House here in Mobile. Tony, I'd like you to elaborate a little bit more on what you were saying about what the goal of Penelope House is.
Well, the goal of Penelope House is safety. Victims of domestic violence that are in imminent danger and they need somewhere safe to go just to kind of reassess their situation.
Right.
The shelter will give them that safety that they need where they can come and bring their children. And then we connect them with community resources and we assist them with everything from understanding what it is to file a warrant to, you know, looking at protection from abuse orders or what have you. So
right.
The first and foremost goal is safety.
Right, right. To get them into a safe place where they can think straight. I know that one of the main things that we've focused on a lot is the trauma and the PTSD that comes with being in a situation where violence is imminent all the time, especially where children are involved. And in a relationship where a lot of times, you know, something I didn't realize was actually considered abuse was financial abuse, where the finances in the family are controlled by the abusive spouse, and there's not any real resources for these women to escape or to leave. And so you guys provide a place for them to come and be safe and learn how to get out of the situation and how to stay safe and keep their children safe.
Right, and a lot of times they need the assistance of the legal system.
Yes.
You know, we've had clients before who had jobs, and, you know, their paycheck was direct deposited in their account, but they weren't on the checking account.
So exactly.
The abuser was, you know, and all the bills were in his name, so his credit looked good. You know, bills were being paid. Everything was good, and she got, like, an allowance just to, you know, go to the grocery store or whatever. So she, while she was working and making money and contributing,
right,
you had no control of how that money was being spent.
Right.
That's the most mental abuse you can think of.
Well, and I think, too, there's a lot of women that choose to stay home with their children, and it's so much easier in that situation for financial abuse to happen because you aren't contributing financially. I mean, you're saving the family tens of thousands of dollars on childcare, but you're not putting money into the bank account, and so there's a lot of men that believe that is their money and that you shouldn't have more than you could go have lunch on.
It's sad that women feel like they have to be penalized to want to, like, be a mother and a stay-at-home mother and take that mental abuse.
Right.
Right. Well, you know, and that's what domestic violence is all about, is power and control.
Yes.
And whether it's through money, whether it's through physical abuse or whether it's emotional abuse or whatever, it's maintaining that imbalance.
Right.
They have that ability to manipulate and everything else.
Right.
That's so hard to, when people say, why doesn't she leave? It's very difficult to leave for some of those reasons, as well as, you know, you just feel like you may not have options.
Right. Right. Well, and you can only be told, you know, by the person that pretty much your life revolves around enough times that, you know, you're worthless, that you have no options, that nobody would ever love you, nobody would take you back. You're usually alienated from your family and friends. So you feel like you can't go to those people for help, and it becomes very alienating.
Right, and a lot of times when people
that's that Stockholm syndrome,
they are able to reconnect with family members who they were isolated from, or who the family was kind of we tried, and she wouldn't leave them. But now, when they see they're serious and they're at the shelter and they're ready to leave and they want to do it safely and they're trying to get their ducks in the row to do so, they've reconnected with family members who help.
Right,
right. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that you know a lot of family members don't even realize, because these women are pretty much conditioned to not say anything.
It's the Stockholm syndrome. It's
and they feel like they love this person.
It's being stuck in a situation where you feel like you're safe, and you mentally you're so used to normalizing the abuse and normalizing numbing yourself to feel like I'm supposed to take care of this because I am who I am. And I'm going to live my life like this, then you just normalize the abuse. And
you have to.
Then you go back to the abuser every time. Like, you turn around and feel like, well, maybe that's love. That's a form of love, you know, the mental, physical, emotional abuse. And it's really not until somebody shows you something differently.
Right.
Right. And that's why a lot of our focus is on that education, right, of understanding what the healthy relationship looks like as opposed to the unhealthy one.
I think that's important.
And all the traits, right, that go along with that unhealthy one.
Well, like I said, just in studying for this segment of shows, I learned a whole lot that I didn't realize. You know, so, in you know, you apply certain things to situations that of people that you know or even yourself, and you realize, wow, this is not at all what it looks like.
No.
And that's kind of how people get away with things like that, because on the outside it looks great and it looks happy, and you right. know, people don't want other people to realize what state they're in because they're ashamed.
Well, and a lot of times, you know, every October during Domestic Violence Awareness Month, we do like an art project, and it's usually a traveling art project. It's at the airport right now, and this year we chose to use our regular motto, which is Peace on Earth Begins at Home.
Mm-hmm.
And we had birdhouses that people in the community, our clients and children and shelter and staff, they did some. And
I got four for you.
Powerful. Right. They're very powerful, and they tell different stories, whether it's the ugliness of domestic violence or the stories of hope and the strength of survivors. But, you know, there's several of them that people have done a beautiful job in showing what the house may look like from the outside, but
and
you really don't know what
like
goes
on
behind
inside.
Closed doors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
When you open the door of one of the houses, inside of it, it's all the negativity, all the awful words, all the name-calling, all the degrading things, but the outside of the house looks beautiful. But when you open
right.
the door and you can see inside, and I think that's
wow.
a lot of...
That is powerful.
Yeah, it's very powerful. And, you know, other people, the impact of the display is people start talking. And
yes.
that's the beginning of knowledge. Is,
absolutely.
Is talking about what
and
it is.
And education, knowing what domestic violence looks like.
Right, right, right.
Right. For seeing it for what it is, you know, despite what the victim is saying,
mm-hmm.
to recognize
exactly.
it and help root it out and encourage them.
Right. And on our social media, we've got a lot of pictures of a lot of the birdhouses that have been done by people in the community,
mm-hmm.
Local businesses, you know, friends of Penelope House. And then we have some that, like I said, some of our clients have made. They were at Government Plaza for the first half of October, and now, like I said, they're on display at the airport.
Okay, that sounds... I've got to go see that. That's definitely something I would like to see.
Yeah, I can't wait to get mine to you, Tony, because my mom made her an Auburn house, and I bedazzled me a house out, and I got a couple more people. My friend Antoinette did one, and so many people trying to get their birdhouses to me now because they're like, we know it's the end of the month.
Well,
Tony,
in your opinion, I want to get this question out. In your opinion, what percentage of the women and children that you see have obvious trauma or symptoms of, you know, what might be called PTSD?
You know, it's probably going to be a high percentage because it's not like it was a one-time event. A lot of times with domestic violence, if you grew up in a home with domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
then you're not more likely, but there's a high probability that you will grow up, because we learn from our families, and
right.
so you're more likely to learn to experience being a victim or an abuser, because that's just what you learned in your home.
Right.
Until someone breaks the cycle, it continues. So you suffered trauma as a child, whether you heard it, whether you saw it, whether you, you know, got physically hurt yourself or sexually assaulted yourself.
Right.
And that was trauma from a childhood. So then as you grew up, if you got into a domestic violence relationship, it's just, you know, hurt on top of hurt, trauma on top of trauma, and
and we learn how that this is how interpersonal relationships work. To either be abused or be an abuser, and that's the worst part. Do any of these women have medical coverage or access to therapy?
Yeah, we always say domestic violence knows no boundaries. So we'll have people come to shelter who've got Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alabama. We've got those who come in with Medicaid. We have those who have insurance tied to their work, or those who are on disability have Medicare. We get quite a diverse population. You know,
right.
A lot of times those that have resources, though,
they don't use.
They
them.
Will have a shorter stay at Penelope House because they just have the means, the resources to do something different.
Right.
You know, go to a hotel or catch an airplane and get out of Mobile, or they just have the resources to escape quicker.
So for somebody that's inquiring about should they check in or you know, try to utilize their services, what's the basic synopsis of what you offer to women as far as services?
The main thing that we offer, and I'll start first with the 24-hour crisis line, is because, you know, if you think you're in a domestic violence relationship and you're not sure and you want someone to talk to, it's answered by trained staff 24 hours a day. So
what's
that would
that
be
number?
The first step, and then having someone to talk to, and then from that point on is, you know, if you are in immediate danger and you need shelter, they can clear you for shelter. Or if you're someone like maybe had a terrible relationship in California and you're in Mobile now, and you want someone to talk to. So we have where you can go one-on-one counseling with a domestic violence outreach counselor, or we have group for clients, and we can do the group within COVID precaution guidelines. You know, we do the social distancing, wearing masks and things like that.
Right.
But we have a lot of services that we can offer for those who may not actually want to come to shelter or feel they're not ready for that move yet.
Okay. Well, you can reach Penelope House at penelopehouse.org. They have a 24-hour crisis line, 251-342-8994, and they have a Facebook page. Go check them out. Donate some money, some clothes. Do whatever you can. Thank you so much, Tony, for being with us tonight. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jennifer. I'm your host. And just so in case you didn't hear that at the end of the last segment about donating, about information on Penelope House, you can go to penelopehouse.org. There's a donate button. You can get information on their services and how to get someone into Penelope House or yourself. Find out what their services are. A lot of people like to donate clothing and other items to their thrift store. That is located at 2907 Old Shell Road at Sage Avenue. They're open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 4. And their 24-hour crisis hotline is 251-342-8994. That's 251-342-8994. And thanks again to Tony from Penelope House for giving us that great information.
And shout out to her for partnering with Community Action Organizers, kind of letting us take the reins for Pritchard. And we just had an event Sunday, Awareness Sunday, where they set up a table and gave out resources and things of that nature. And every time we've called on the Penelope House, they've been there.
That's great. I have heard about Penelope House since I've moved to Mobile 16 years ago. I've heard really great things about them the entire time I've lived here. And I know I've donated some stuff before, clothing-wise, and I definitely will be donating again.
Yeah.
It's a worthy cause. There are a lot of women and children who need our help. And they don't have anybody to turn to. You know, there's for every woman that comes in that does have a job and insurance, there's a woman who doesn't have anything.
Sure.
Right.
Well, so Calla and Albert are here with community action organizers, and we want to continue the conversation with them. The need for awareness, I think, it's very, very easy for people to say, I'm going to mind my own business.
Yeah.
And blatantly ignore things that are obvious. I think it's a travesty when anybody sees someone who is being abused or even suspected abuse and doesn't speak up and say something or offer their help.
I always wonder why, because I've never been the type to see something like that and just think, well, to, let me just walk away.
Not everybody thinks like us.
I know. How does that thought process work where you just watch, like you're watching somebody getting beat on by somebody and you just can't.
Or just downtrodden. You know the signs. You know the signs.
I think the question is like, what can I do, everybody? You know, first thing people say, I don't have time for all that, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
It's somebody else's drama, but, you know, what happens if the next time they get beaten, they get dead?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, how do you live with yourself? Or how do you live with yourself when children are being neglected or abused? Or you never know. Because what you see on the surface is just the tip of the iceberg.
Like she was saying, it's like, you know, it's that whole imagery of a beautiful house on the outside. But
exactly.
You know, I always say that a house is not a home unless it's a complete, and meaning the inside and the outside is healthy and beautiful and nice. But sometimes that's not the case.
Right. Well, I think a lot of times abusers are covert. No one walks up to a woman and says, marry me, I'm going to beat the crap out of you for the next 25 years or until I kill you.
Right.
It happens slowly over time, little bit by little bit, and it becomes worse and worse. And, you know, before a woman knows it, she's got children, you know, she's got dependents. She's, you know, a lot of times with stay-at-home mothers, There is no career. There's no immediate escape, or there's no access. Like she said, deposited money goes into an account that they have no access to.
I think a lot of it is mental illness too. That
it
not
is
being addressed.
From
both sides, you know.
Like absolutely.
The depression from the woman postpartum if they've had kids, from the men. A lot of men experience you know, abuse growing up that they don't talk about because it's frowned upon to show any
that,
type of weakness.
All the way
as
up
a man.
Through personality disorders,
right.
You know, unfixable narcissism, you know, sociopathy.
Narcissism is the biggest thing I see in the current generation of men because they grow up without a father figure. So they create this own persona of a man, and it's a narcissistic analogy of what they think is supposed to be okay, and they normalize abuse.
Right, and everything and everyone is at my disposal for my pleasure, for my use,
right,
for my good, and then they're disposable.
Right.
So the need for awareness is probably more urgent now than ever before. I know that Albert's going to talk to us about some stats in the county and the state on the increase of domestic violence just since COVID happened. You know, everybody's stuck at home with their spouses.
Yes, absolutely. Just in the spirit of awareness and speaking to the event myself and Calla had this past Sunday. If you saw purple ribbons up and down Wilson Avenue, we went out there to hang purple ribbons to, you know, spread awareness just to get people thinking about this thing because, you know, as we said, awareness or lack thereof is a big part of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And to that end, in previous weeks, we've gone over, you know, state statistics and different facts, you know, just to kind of
recap. Shout out to Lorenzo Martin, too, for having his Real Men Wear Pink event prior to our event, and we kind of partnered on that to kind of join forces.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially in Pritchard.
He said, thank you for bringing snacks and drinks. That helped a lot.
Yeah. helped the walk.
But to go in stats we covered in the past weeks, and I'm going to be citing my sources that I've looked at just because anybody can go look at them. But the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency, ALEA, does a domestic violence study. They keep a tally of offenses by county. Now, granted, the newest statistics they have are from 2017, but, of course, that's better than any. And in Alabama in 2017, there were 4,291 domestic violence cases, and that's domestic violence being, you know, more high profile cases like homicide rate.
Year?
Was that yes, in 1 year? Yes, just in 2017.
That's a lot.
And of course, that's one particular category. Then you have the broader category of domestic simple assaults, which had over 32,000 cases, over 4,000 of those in Mobile County. And so to speak more about the increases that have been happening, those statistics, as bad as they might sound, are really misleading, actually, because we're so out of date. And to that end, shout out to the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, who has formed a domestic violence division to keep statistics and follow cases on that. They actually sent us statistics for this year so far, for January through September. And, you know, the monthly trend bears out what we've been seeing all in the news about, you know, as you said, Jen, abused women and children being trapped with their abusers. Of course, add the economic
I mean,
loss,
the quarantine happened,
jobs.
So, right. you know, yeah. they were in the house.
I'm sure, especially in the counties that were sheltered in place, that right. they literally could not go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And even the loss of economic freedom kind of contributes to that. Not right. being able to get out and kind of get out and escape that in
right.
other regards.
Yeah.
So this year so far, for January through September, there have been 639 total domestic violence cases in Mobile County. And let's see.
Mind you, it's only 365 days in a year. So that means it's already two a day.
Right, right.
Already having two a day.
And those are individual cases.
Right.
Those aren't yes. repeats or anything like that. Those are 600 and something individual women
and
that
men
have escaped. Yes, and there are some men. There are.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And what we're seeing here, like I say, the first quarter of the year, January through March, under 50 cases each month. But from March to April, we see a jump from 49 to 76.
And when did quarantine start? In March.
Exactly, at the end of March.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, April to May, it jumps from 76 to 109.
Right. And, they tired by this point. They ready to get out. They breaking their way out.
And June, the trend holds the same. June had 104 cases, only 66 in July. I didn't mean to say only. It dropped to 66 cases in July. But, of course, it's
still trending.
But
that was when things started going back to normal.
People were back out again. You know, they kind of opened the world back up with a mask mandate. But, I mean, people were able to get out. And I bet you not as many cases were reported because they found their way out. A lot of people broke up during it was make or break season during quarantine.
Yeah.
And then of course with that uncertainty and that back and forth, they opened for a little while, but going back in August, cases started going back up. They
right.
started shutting down.
Kids
people
going back to school,
jobs.
But they got to go back to school at home, so it's going to be a lot more issues and frustration.
And speaking of that, August jumped to 96 cases.
See?
That is when school started.
That's when school started back. So, well, actually, it started back September the 1st.
Mm-hmm. Well, it started in August in Saraland.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
There are places that did go back to school in August.
Oh, right, right.
But I think it's all. Yeah.
In Chickasaw, I did see people in school. Kids there. So you see this kind of up and down trend kind of.
But you can easily see how the social distancing and the restrictions have affected those numbers.
Yeah, it plays a major part.
It does. It absolutely does.
Yeah, the trend is overall upward. You know, even on the months that drop, we're still talking way more than we had at the beginning of the year.
Right, right. Some of them more than double.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's crazy. I know that I've seen some pretty wild stuff on Facebook that's meant to be funny about the homeschooling and the teachers, you know, teaching their kids online and stuff. Some, you know, but people are just, I don't know, everything's different now. The way people think.
People live their lives through the lens and social media now. Like, I can't believe how normalized we've become to not really socially interacting. I need that social interaction.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
Like, I can't handle just a computer screen or just a conversation over the phone. Like, I need to feel someone's presence. And
right.
I don't.
Look
I really
them in
can't
the eyes, see their body language,
yeah,
hear
I really
their tone
can't
of
understand,
voice.
Like, how people have normalized just being okay with social media and being not just social media, but being okay with being that distance from understanding
not
real
seeing
things happening. They're literally just saying, "Oh, let me just keep scrolling." People are literally going live and dying on Facebook.
Yeah. Right.
And they've normalized that.
Well, and the mental health has degraded greatly. I mean, the rate of suicide and things like that.
So much higher. Yeah,
there's so much going on where people are isolated and they can't handle it.
Yeah, people aren't happy at all.
Well, we're not made to be segregated from each other in that way.
Say that again.
Yeah, we're meant to be together, to be interactive, to have, physical interaction, hug your friends, shake people's hands, look them in the eye, pat them on the back. That is normal. And when people don't have that, and then couple it with concentrated amounts of time with someone who is also segregated and frustrated, but right. abusive. And you can imagine the amount of violence and the amount of psychological torture and the amount of, given all of the financial constraints of late, how that would be all increased greatly.
But I think that's why Cannabama is so important as a outlet now, I feel like we're like a pharmacy, per se, because people come in there and talk
funny.
About their problems.
We offered free delivery. We offered, curbside service, and not one person used it. They came into the store. Thankfully, thank you, State of Alabama, for deeming us essential. We wouldn't be here if we hadn't been. But
right.
But people came in every day with their mask on and said, please don't close. You're
they need that interaction. They needed that.
Right. They wanted to come in and have that experience, this is what gets me through.
Right.
And that makes me very proud. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the hour and talk a little bit about CBD for anxiety, PTSD, night terrors, focused mood, and all the other ways it helps our lives. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jennifer, your host here at Sweet Home Cannabama. Here's something that Tony sent me. It says in Alabama, 31% of women and 26.9% of men will experience intimate partner physical violence, intimate partner sexual violence, and or intimate partner stalking. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
30%. That's crazy.
That's almost half of the relationships you get in. So that's why, I don't understand how so many successful dating apps out here, because those are like the cause of a lot of like muggings and domestic situations from those
right.
little dating apps they got.
Yeah. Oh, they come from everywhere. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about CBD for anxiety. I know we've gone over this. We've talked to a couple of different great companies that helped us understand how CBD can help with things like mental health, brain chemistry balance. When you experience some kind of trauma or repeated trauma, especially that constant dump of cortisol, that fight or flight hormone into the body causes inflammation. It knocks off balance. Your brain, your hormones, your immune system, your organ function, everything. It can mm-hmm. actually cause pain.
Curative went over a lot of that last week, and it
right.
was so interesting because we play popcorn with the products to figure out like what products that look good to us, and we wanted to see what the difference between broad spectrum and full spectrum is to know how it
right.
works with the body, because I think those are really important things for people that are trying to find
right.
relief.
And we talked with Tonic. Mm-hmm. about the products that she has that have the adaptogenic herbs like black seed oil, ashwagandha, lemon balm, passion flower, that are geared for mental health.
Right.
They sort of laser focus what the cannabis product does in balancing the brain chemistry and helping especially with anxiety, insomnia, and PTSD. And Tonic Chill has been one of our best sellers from the beginning. And we talked to the founder about how she discovered that combination of things and why they do what they do. So I don't want to belabor the point. And, if it's your first time hearing this, we're always, always, always open and ready any time of day or night to answer your questions in depth, specific to your needs. And all you have to do is call the store, 251-255-5155. You can message us on our Facebook page at Cannabama, the CBD store, or on Instagram at Cannabama. And then I usually, I think there's probably a couple thousand business cards out there with my personal cell phone number. It's 251. I can't believe I'm going to do this. 251-303-5193. That is Jennifer Boozer.
Bold move.
Owner of Cannabama.
Let the games begin. No, I'm
serious.
Just kidding.
No, you know, nobody ever abuses it. And I'm super grateful for that. Nobody ever abuses the privilege of having my personal cell phone number. And I'm always there for anybody in need. That's how serious it is to me. I mean, my competition put my personal cell phone number on their Google listing. So, hey, why not? I was never going to have privacy anyway.
Right.
anyway, so, you know, CBD helps balance the brain chemistry, which is where your mood and depression are worked out. Anxiety, insomnia, your ability to focus, your ability to sleep, night terrors, and things that come with PTSD and extreme levels of cortisol in the system. It gets that source of inflammation out of the body and can actually help reverse some of the symptoms of things that are caused by, you know, unexplained things like fibromyalgia and migraines that are caused by inflammation that no one can explain. You know, I've mentioned before, they did a study at Stanford Medical on women who have fibromyalgia and migraines, and a high 90 percentile of them had been victims of sexual assault, been in an abusive relationship as a child or an adult, or suffered another trauma-inducing PTSD level event in their life, and then soon after started having physical pain or physical disorder in the body.
Right.
So it's real, you know. I mean, these things where all of a sudden, you know, I know, and this is super personal, but, you know, nothing's off limits for me. I was sexually assaulted as a teenager. And
I was too.
I never understood why 3 months later I started having blinding migraines. I'll yeah. never forget the first one. I was 15 years old. I was a baby. And I remember I was with my parents. And we went to visit my grandmother in New Orleans, and we were out in downtown, and I just had this blinding pain. I started seeing spots. I had never been in so much pain before, and it was exactly 3 months later. And I remember lying on my grandmother's bed with tears rolling down. I couldn't even cry, like outright cry, because I was in so much pain. And I just remember lying there confused, thinking, why is this happening?
Yeah.
And it happened for 25 years. Until I started taking CBD every day. And that is the truth. 2 to 3 times a week. And now I understand.
That might explain my migraines when I was young.
That's what started it. And it's so clear to me now. That made so much sense. When I read that study from Stanford, it made so much sense why I just all of a sudden started having migraines.
Right.
And why I don't have them anymore. My brain chemistry is balanced. I take CBD every single day. I have for 3 years, and I haven't been on any prescriptions. I was on antidepressants, anxiety meds, blood pressure meds, sleep meds, and still had insomnia, still a wreck, and still in pain. And within weeks of starting CBD regularly, I didn't do any of those things anymore, and I haven't. And I took 2 years to break my streak, and I finally had to go to the doctor for a bronchitis and a sinus infection, which made me mad. But I haven't had to see anybody for that. I go to therapy, and that helps me. But I don't have the need for those things because those things weren't actually helping me. And the CBD naturally allows my body to heal itself. So I can't emphasize enough how important it is to consider CBD for these issues, especially if you have any form of PTSD. Our soldiers, our firemen, our law enforcement officers, you know, people like me who've had multiple trauma-inducing things. You know, when my son was born and I almost bled to death and he died, I was 25 years old. You know, that wrecked me. It did something to me. It changed me. And I couldn't cope with it well until now, until the last 6 years. You know, my addiction, I help people get off of drugs now, come from a place where I was. So that's why we celebrate my clean anniversary every year, because I'm okay being super vocal about it. Not a lot of people will. I'm okay being super vocal about it because that's not who I am anymore. That's not true about me anymore. And it's not something that I struggle with. And that is in large part thanks to my daily intake of CBD. I don't know that I would have gotten through the last 6 months of stress and strain in my personal life and in my business life if I had not had those things and not been tempted at all. So I would encourage anybody who's listening who has PTSD, who has trauma, who has physical ailments that they can't explain, who knows someone who is a victim of these things who has experienced trauma, reach out to us. Let us help you. It's very serious what we do, and we take it very seriously. And we want to do what we can. And please don't ever let money be an issue. You'd be surprised at what you can afford in our store. And we do donation when needed. And we are not shy about that either. So come see us. It's important to us. Your mental health, your physical health is more important to us than making a profit. And I challenge any other business out there to say the same thing and be able to back it up. Anyway, I just want to remind everybody of our Hello Clean event on Friday after the golf tournament.
Get excited.
From 6 to 9 at the store downtown at 558 St. Francis Street. We're going to celebrate my 6-year clean anniversary. We're going to have a lot of very deeply discounted products and some other things that Calla has up her sleeve that I'm not going to ask about or hint about anymore. I'm a terrible.
We all know secrets. She wants cupcakes.
White wedding cake from Flower Girls, just saying.
There she goes, dropping the bombs again.
But don't forget about Penelope House. Check them out at penelopehouse.org. And check us out at Cannabama, the CBD store, on Facebook, at Cannabama on Instagram, Community Action Organizers on Facebook, yes. And Cannabama.com. You can listen to the show and any other former episodes of the show anytime you want to there or on FMTalk1065.com. And we really appreciate having a radio station here who lets us speak our mind and talk about cannabis openly. I think it's necessary. Come back and see us next week. We're going to start talking about a Cannabama stimulus package.
Hey, hey.
Good night.
Good night.